What's up, everybody? This is Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're talking to Jeff Crosby, a singer-songwriter from out in Idaho, if I'm correct there, right?
Yep, from Idaho. I'm based out of Austin, Texas now, but from Idaho.
Gotcha. And before we started recording, it was telling me about some fires going through Idaho, which I was kind of interested in. Does that happen a lot up there?
Oh, yeah, man. It's part of living out west, man. We actually, it's been kind of getting worse and worse every year. Makes touring out here kind of wild. Sometimes you'll be driving down the freeway, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I guess road's closed.
Jeez. And they're like, yeah, they're all wildfires, right? They're not like controlled fires or anything?
Yeah, no, we get a lot of wildfires out in Idaho, man. It's just kind of part of living out here.
Yeah, I got you. That's scary stuff. Well, we don't have it in Cincinnati, so it's scary.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I was going to say, not too many wildfires in Cincinnati, I'm sure.
but yeah, man, so let's go back a bit and just people could get familiar with you who don't know you yet. Like you said, you're from Idaho. Is that when you got started playing music or wanted to take it to that level with your career? And if so, like, how was the scene out there? I'm kind of unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, you know, Idaho's a trip, man. There's a lot of old timers and stuff that where I grew up, was a couple hours north of Boise. Valley County, the town's McCall, Donnelly is the area. And I kind of came up hanging out with the old guys that were always picking and playing old country songs and stuff. And I had a neighbor that was super into, he used to go out and play gigs a bunch. And I just thought he was the coolest dude ever. So he was the one that kind of inspired me to start doing it. And yeah, man, just playing all over Idaho. Was a teenager, and then I moved to LA for 5 years, that was just what you did.
Yeah,
and I lived down there for 5 years doing the music thing and touring pretty nonstop. And I don't know, kind of ran out of inspiration to stay there, and so then I moved to Nashville for 5 years after that, and then I've kind of landed in Austin. Pretty good friends with, I don't know if you know, like Reckless Kelly or...
Oh, yeah, I know Reckless Kelly.
Yeah, those are good friends of mine. They're all Idaho boys. And
okay.
They're the ones that kind of... I was out playing guitar with them for a summer after their guitar player had stepped away from the band after like 20 years. Mm-hmm. And right before the pandemic, 2019, I was out with them for like 3 months. And that's what kind of got me... They're based out of Austin, so that's what I was... kind of got me falling in love with Austin. So that's how we landed there.
Okay, right on. So how'd you get in touch with those guys from Reckless Kelly then? How'd you first get in contact with them?
You know, I hooked up with them. I met their dad first. Their dad's kind of, he's an Idaho legend, Muzzy Braun.
Yeah, Muzzy.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were in a family band, you know, grew up playing music with him. And their dad actually saw me play some event in my hometown. It was like some fundraiser for a library or something, which is hilarious if you ever go to my hometown. There's not a lot of reading going on in Donnelly. it was some fundraiser deal, and we played, I think we played right after Muzzy, and he saw our band and loved it. We ended up hanging out and chatting, and they put on a festival up in Challis, Idaho called the Braun Brothers Reunion.
Yeah.
Their dad started it, and now the boys, Reckless and Mickey and all those boys, have taken it over. Actually, we're playing it this year. It's the 40th one this year. It's crazy.
Oh, wow. But, I didn't know it was going on that long.
Yeah, it's been kind of passed down. The torch has been passed on to the other boys now. But, that was probably 10 years ago. And Muzz invited us to come up and play the reunion. And that's kind of how I hooked up with Reckless Kelly and Mickey the Motor Cars, all those guys. We just became pretty fast friends, and then we ended up going out and doing a lot of tours with them. And gosh, now we've done a ton of writing together. Actually, three or four songs on my new record are co-writes with Willie and Gary Braun.
Okay.
And then their new record's coming out. I've got a bunch of co-writes on the new Reckless Kelly record, so we've kind of just become buds. I don't write with a ton of people, but I don't know, something about the Idaho guys, I don't know, man. Maybe we just kind of clicked or something. They're the only guys I really do a ton of co-writing with.
Yeah, a little connection there for sure, man.
Yeah, man.
So, it's funny that you mentioned those guys and like Mickey, you said, and guys of that like era, because when I first listened to you, if I wouldn't have known any better, like you were from Idaho or stuff, I would have thought you were just like, you know, like a red dirt guy, right, down in like Oklahoma, or, you know, like a Texas country, because it sounds like your music's right out of that kind of genre or that era, even. Like, it sounds, yeah, like that old school, like rock country, you know, how like red dirt music. It's hard to describe red dirt music to me. Like, it's just red dirt music.
Yeah, no, it's such an interesting like subgenre, because it's kind of funny too, because once you're in it, you know, or once you get to touring around that area, it is such a specific sound. It's like, I feel like Reckless Kelly, I mean, they really embody that sound, you know, to me. When I mean, they just reminds me, they just nail that. It's kind, yeah, of a vibe, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of like them and like Ragweed, guys there. And I think they kind of came up together, didn't they? I could be wrong on my history there, but
yeah, no, they totally did. I've talked to Willie about that from Reckless a lot, actually, because I've always been curious about how, you know, how they came up in Texas and the role that they kind of played, you know, in that whole music scene. And yeah, he said Ragweed really kind of took them under their wing and helped them a ton. I think Ragweed was just like really they were kind of at their peak, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess they took Reckless out to open for him a ton. And I think didn't Ragweed put one of the Reckless Kelly songs on their live at,
yeah,
Bay
Crazy
Bob's,
Eddie.
Yeah. And Willie was like, dude, that totally like turned the page for us. He's like, all of a sudden our shows just started packing out.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, man. It is kind of like a big family, you know, all those, yeah, guys. They've been on the road together for so long. So it's been pretty cool for guys like us. You know, I'm probably 10 years behind them, and getting to go out to Texas knowing those guys has definitely been pretty awesome, because I feel like I've gotten the red carpet rolled out a little bit on as far as, you know, getting to play some really cool rooms. And I feel like we definitely got to we got kind of spoiled showing up. Our first time playing down in Texas was two nights at the Green Hall, sold out, opening for Reckless Kelly.
Oh, wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, so that was like our introduction to Texas. It was kind of like, man, we should move down here.
For sure, man. So I guess when, because you said you've lived in L.A., Nashville, and Austin, and it seems like you prefer Austin. Was there well, is that the case? Like, is there a certain place where you like learn the most, or you might prefer more than the other?
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. I mean, it's funny, being from Idaho, I feel like I kind of, it's almost cheating a little bit, because I always have Idaho to go back to and kind of reset. So, you know, everywhere I've lived, but I do like being in like music towns. Like, honestly, I love living in Nashville. I really had a good time there. Met some amazing people. That town is so unique in the way like everyone writes together, and like I really like that kind of energy, you know. It's like you're just hanging out having a beer, and it's like everyone's always just like, hey man, I liked your set, we should write a song tomorrow. You know, I'm not really used to being in that. Everyone's just so open to, you know, collaborating. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have left Nashville if it wasn't for the pandemic. Like, when that happened, I basically, you know, our whole calendar canceled in a matter of a week, you know?
Yeah.
And, I think, yeah, I was actually on tour out in California when it really came down, and instead of going back to Nashville, I changed my flight and flew up to Idaho, and thankfully had some friends that, had a cabin up there, and they're, you know, couldn't Airbnb it or whatever they were doing. So they were just like, man, honestly, stay as long as you like, you know, Jeff, if you want to just hole up here. So I ended up staying up at this cabin for like 4 months.
Wow.
which the social distancing is pretty easy out here in Idaho. So I kind of hit out. But, you know, by the time the pandemic stuff started to ease up, we got back on the road. It was, I don't know, I just felt like it was a good time to change of pace. And so that's when I ended up moving down to Austin. And, yeah, I've been there like maybe 2 years, but it's a tough one, man. I mean, Southern California has its vibe, you know, and its thing, and Nashville has its thing. I do like the idea. I do like living in like a music town, you know.
Sure.
But I'm always kind of touching base back in Idaho. I spend a lot of time out in Idaho in the summer. We're not on the road. I try to be out here as much as I can in the summertime. Summer's just hard to beat out here, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. So in your experience, just being in so many places and meeting so many people with your music, do you experience more of a like a camaraderie deal or more of a competition kind of vibe? Like when it comes to your peers?
I'd say it's definitely more camaraderie. I mean, especially as the years go, I mean, gosh, I've been doing this for 20 years now. And it is kind of nice to see the people that actually, you know, people that are still hanging on.
yeah, man.
It's kind of one of those things. Yeah, you do this all through your 20s. And, you know, there is definitely a large group of people that don't stick around. You know, they do the band thing for a while. And it is, you know, it's not the easiest lifestyle. I have a lot of friends who've just kind of dipped out after giving it a good try for 10 years, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing that keeps you going too, man. When you're out on the road and getting these relationships built over the years in all these different towns, and you know, every town has their band, you know, that you've played with. And that's one of my favorite parts about touring around and, I don't know, the relationships you make over the years and they get to host you as you roll through their town, or I do that here a lot. You know, I love inviting people up to Idaho and getting to see our neck of the woods.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, man, I'd say it's more camaraderie and less competition anymore, for me at least.
Yeah, that's good. And I feel like there would be like a good, that'd be a good balance too. Not like a mean competition way, but more of just like it keeps you on your heels, like creatively. And it just makes you like keep pushing and stuff, especially for the younger guys. I think that's of like their thing. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, there's always, I mean, for me too, it is awesome to see your buddies, you know, out there kicking ass. You know, it's nice to see everyone's going for the same goal, but I mean, gosh, you see your buddies booking those, you know, cherry gigs or playing those rooms we all want to play. It's yeah, man, it's, I don't know. Everyone's out doing it. That's not an easy gig. So it's hard to be. At some point, it's just like, you know, good for you. If anyone can make it in this thing, it's like, wow, bravo, man.
However you for can sure, pull it man. Off. Yeah, that's a good mindset to have towards it. So in your opinion, because this is like my favorite question to ask artists, is where would people like to put musicians in genres or in subgenres? But nowadays, especially with the kind of music you play, like you can't really put it in one genre. I don't think, at least. So like, where would you align yourself if you had to put a label on it, or if you could describe your own sound or style, what would it be?
It was funny. I was talking to my buddy about this because we were talking about all the Red Dirt stuff, but we kind of always call ourselves it's more like a, it's like a roots Americana alt country realm.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we were listening to a bunch, we cover this Uncle Tupelo song, called Still Be Around. And my buddy Brian here actually introduced me to them when I was in high school. And, he's always talking to me about them, going and seeing them, you know, way back in the day, and kind of got me into them. And that, I guess that's one of those bands that like, it's not necessarily, it's hard to, like you said, put it in a one. It's like so many genres in one. So it really is. It's just like, they're just like carrying the torch and telling all these, you know, it's just like a story of, it's just American music, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I feel like, well, talking about the Reckless Kelly guys and stuff too. I mean, I feel like they're really similar to that. It's, we're not super country by any means, but we kind of are, I guess. And like, you know, we tour a lot with a pedal steel player. So that lends to that, I suppose. But we definitely, you know, we definitely have more of a rock sound, and like Reckless Kelly, you know, they always have that more. I guess I grew up too so much. I was so much more into, like, you know, grew up on so much Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Allman Brothers and Jackson Browne, and like that's the stuff that my parents were listening to. So that's the stuff. You know, I wasn't raised on the super country stuff, but all that stuff is, you know, you could say the Heartbreakers are just as country as it, you know, it's like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, they, that, you know, it is kind of country. So yeah, I guess it's such a weird thing, man. That is the thing with the Red Dirt thing. It's just the, I guess it's just more rock and roll based country.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just different. And it's good, like, not to put, I don't put yourself in a box and it's good. That's like my pet peeve with like fans. Like, they're just like, oh, well, that's not real country. It's like, well, does it have to be real country? Like, this is their music. Who you reminded me of when I first listened to you, I think it, like, a lot of the vocals remind me of it, but just like the, you couldn't really put them in a certain spot was, I don't know if you're familiar with Jeremy Pennell.
Oh yeah, I love him. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually from like the town I grew up in, and I had him on here before too, and he's kind of said pretty much the exact same thing you did. It's just like, yeah, I mean, like, we don't really know. Like, I think I sound like this, but like, who knows what's next, kind of deal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he did a record with my buddy Jonathan Tyler recently, which is his record. I thought it came out killer, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him, and yeah. I mean, that is the thing too. I guess the most important thing is having a fan base that's going to go along the ride with you, you know. And
yeah,
as long as they're still seeing themselves in the songs and, you know, willing to stick with you. I mean, that is the really cool part about the Red Dirt fan base and the Texas music scene, and honestly, up here in Idaho, you know, people are really loyal. You know, once you're their band, man, they're around forever. These are people that have been coming out to our shows for 15 years now. So it's nice to be able to feel like it's a fan base that allows you the freedom to experiment and try new things. And it's not like you have to necessarily make the same record over and over again, you know?
Right.
I feel like the fans kind of afford you to be able to do that. If your fan base will stick with you, man, you can do whatever you want.
Yep, exactly, man. That's awesome. So I was when I was looking back on some of your like footage of your guys playing live and stuff, your band is super tight, like really tight.
Yeah, and man, it's a great band.
Yeah, and I was just curious, like how did you guys, I don't know if it's like same guys as when you started or what, but like how did you guys like form up and like meet?
It's gone through a couple different reincarnations. Is that the right word?
I think so.
So my brother was in the band for like almost 10 years. He played bass for like 5 years, and then he moved to guitar for 5 years. And then he recently, after the pandemic, he struck out on his own. His Andy Crosby. He's actually doing some recording with Jonathan Tyler right now too. And putting his first record out. Yeah. So he's finally got sick of my ass and going doing his own thing. But he was a big part of the band for a while, and now it's basically been me and the bass player consistently for the past 7-8 years. We got a couple guys up here in Idaho that are out with us this summer, but we've had a couple drummers change, and I think hitting our late 30s, you know, everyone's having kids and not wanting to be on the road all the time.
Sure.
So we've had a couple guys come and go. But I don't know. They still dip in. Like, for example, we do a 3-night run every year here in Boise, Idaho. Every November, we call it our homecoming run.
Okay.
And we do 3 different venues over 3 days, and we'll do like a whole album in its entirety, or like, you know, we try to not do any repeats or anything. And it's been a cool thing to come back home, and on a lot of guys that have played with us over the years but don't go out on the road anymore usually come out for that, and we do like kind of the big band. My friend Daniel Blumenfeld, he comes out. He played keys in the band for like 10 years, but he's not going on the road much anymore. So we're all still super close friends, and you know, it's always kind of it's kind of like a I don't know, somewhat of a reunion. See all our buds.
That's nice.
Yeah, man, it's the Idaho hang's always pretty good.
Hell yeah, man. Do you feel like, it sounds like to me it's kind of like how Jeremy is here, like when you, that is that where you find your biggest crowds, your biggest, like whenever you do play, is that like your biggest shows, you think, in Idaho?
Oh yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, that's definitely like our home. Like Boise, yeah. Idaho is kind of our hometown, you know. That's the, I feel like that's the people that have been seeing the band the longest. That's usually our biggest, those are usually our bigger shows. Yeah.
Right on. Are there any venues that are all that you could think back of over the years that like Like I could play that any day of the week. Like it's like any of your favorite ones.
Well, I mean, yes, yeah, the one we were just talking. I mean, Greenhall,
yeah.
One of my favorites.
That seems like the coveted one in Texas. I feel like
it's such a cool place, man. It's so funky, and I mean, like last time we played there. Actually, I played with Reckless Kelly, and it was like, God, it felt like it was 150 degrees on stage. But I think that kind of creates the vibe, you know, when you're in there and everyone's just sweating their ass off, but like, you know, in it, everyone is definitely in the moment, you know. It's just such a legendary room too. I just love that place. But here in Idaho's got some cool spots too. I mean, there's some festivals out here, that the Braun Brothers Union, for example, it's kind of become like, I mean, we play it every year, and it's just like, it really is a big family reunion. Bunch of band, you know, all bands that we see each other out on the road here and there, but it's kind of like just the big bash, man. It's like the Super Bowl of the summer festivals. Cause it's just like always such a great lineup, and we've been friends with those guys for so long. That's probably my second favorite annual gig. But yeah, Austin Street is pretty good too, man. I mean, we play the Saxon Pub a lot in Austin, and that place is just such a legendary spot, and they treat us so good there. Yeah, those are the kind of spots like that, you know. It's like you look forward to going back every time we play it. It's like, man, I can't wait to play here again. Like, it's just like, it's always a good crowd. It's always a good hang.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but like the Bronze Festival, man, I remember reading about that, and that, I don't know if you know, that a Red Dirt book came out a couple years ago.
Is that Josh Crutcher?
Yeah, and I read, and there was like a whole chapter on that. Like, I didn't even know that. I lived in Stillwater for a year, so like, right. I thought I had an idea of like everything going on around there, but then I'm like, wait, this shit goes up to Idaho too. Like, I didn't know that. Yeah. So reading about that was really interesting. It seems like a banger of a festival, man.
It's cool, because I talked to Josh about that a lot actually. When he was writing that book, and it's kind of this like, it's like this trail. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much what our tour circuit consists of, but it is a lot of these small towns, you know, like in between, you know, we kind of go from Pacific Northwest and, you know, the Rockies, but then you going across Kansas and then doing all that, all these little Oklahoma towns, and then down into Texas. It's kind of its own, you know, really unique, like, area. I don't know. I think that is what lends so much to that Red Dirt sound. It's like, mm-hmm. it's different than like touring the West Coast or something. Like, it really is. It's just a lot of that, like, small towns, small festivals, but people that are like genuinely huge music fans. And I gotta say, like, those people are so dedicated. Like, you know, now every time we play in like Tulsa or something, ever since we opened for Reckless at Kane's, every time we play, now we play like the Mercury or something, we come through, like, those people come out every time. They bought a shirt last time, they're buying another shirt this time, you know, like, you know, even if they've already got the record, they buy another record, give it to a friend. That, you know, it's that kind of, like I was talking about earlier, but I mean, that really is the Red Dirt, like, that scene, that the fans in that scene, you know, allow that vehicle to exist, you know? And bands like us to exist, honestly, you know, without that market, you know, I don't think, because we never could really survive doing just like the West Coast. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, could never financially like make it our main, you know, trail. You know, we'll hit the West Coast once a year or something, but yeah, there's something about that whole market, man. It's just like the fans are they're dedicated, and they're super loyal, and man, they come out every time, you know. Can't wait to buy the same shirt they bought last time, just to, you know, just to support the band. So
that's awesome.
It's cool, man.
Yeah, man. So talking a bit more about like the Red Dirt stuff, and it's like ever evolving, which is another thing I love about it. What do you think of the new like push now, like with like, it's very rock centric, like I think more than it has been before. A lot of it's more so like the Texas stuff, but Red Dirt as well. Like, you got guys like Coe Wetzel and Reed Southall and all that. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. I feel so removed from it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm like getting old. Because a lot of it, I don't connect with a lot of it, you know, but every now and then I will hear a song, you know, when that stuff really first started coming out, or I guess showing up on my radar, I remember it just reminded me, it's very like 90s rock or something.
Yeah. Like, you know, grungy kind of.
Yeah. And I remember just being kind of like, what is this? But there's nothing country about it to me, but,
no,
I don't know, but every now, like, you know, then a friend will send me a song or something. Like, I never thought I was a Coe Wetzel fan, but then, you know, you'll always hear, like, you'll hear that one song. It's like, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, okay, now I'm kind of seeing what people are connecting with, but it is just like that. I mean, I'm 37 and I feel like that is like the 20s.
Yeah.
It's all like guys in their 20s, you know, they're like 27s. So it is funny. Sometimes I find myself being like, is this what everyone talked about? Like, is this what it feels like to get old, where you start listening to everything? And I'm like, I don't get it. But I always try to keep an open mind with that stuff, you know, because like I said, there usually will be something. I'll finally hear a song and be like, okay, here's the song. I get it. This is good.
You For know? Sure, man.
But first impressions are always kind of tough with a lot of that. A lot of that Texas stuff right now. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just like a college kid thing. I just feel so far removed from it. But if I don't like something, I try not to dig into it too much. It's just like, I just don't get it. I guess I don't get it. If I don't, you know, it's like, it's not clicking for me. But
yeah, well, yeah. Don't hate on it if you don't like it. Yeah, I agree.
I would sure like to see things lean more in the traditional, I don't know, you know, some of that stuff is just like, yeah, I guess I just don't connect with it. And I always, some of it, I'm like, gosh, man, I don't know where this genre is headed, but some of it's pretty weird.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? The pendulum always swings back. So who knows? Yeah. You might have another like Great Divide coming out soon. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. That's kind of, I mean, with what we do too, you know, it's like, I don't know. I always try not to think about it too much and just keep doing what we're doing, keep making records. And I don't know. Hopefully,
sure.
We have our little world, but you know, there's always going to be popular music and stuff that comes and goes. But I feel like that's this genre that we're in. I feel like it is kind of this, there'll always be a market for it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, let's talk a bit about your last single that came out, man. I know it's been, I think it was last month, right? I don't even know if it's been a full month yet.
Yeah. Was it the Another Petal Falls Off a Rose?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the title track.
Yes, sir. So what is there a story or message behind that? Like, can you tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, it's my bass player calls it the bummer hit of the summer. but it's kind of a heavy tune. I think the theme on a lot of these songs, I was going through a pretty weird time, having all that time off, you know, having to all of a sudden, you know, went from touring nonstop and kind of living on the road to all of a sudden it was, you know, just like a hard stop. And we were just like having to reevaluate, you know, well, am I even going to be able to do this anymore? You know, how long am I going to be able to do this?
Right.
So I wrote a lot of those songs in that time period. And I think that was the first song I wrote after finally picking a guitar up after having all that time off.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess it's one of those songs that kind of just like coming to terms with, you know, getting older, I guess, and having to figure out how to survive in this thing, you know. It went through, it kind of started as just a poem that I wrote in my journal, and then I added the music to it later, which is usually the other way around.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's kind of why it was such a special tune. When I actually put the music to it and re-recorded it, I was like, man, this has got to be the title track, because it just kind of captured the vibe of the whole, you know, project. I don't know. I really just kind of fell in love with the tune. It's kind of a heavy one, man. I guess that's just the theme of the album in general. It's just like coming to terms with getting older and trying to stay in this thing, you know, not kill myself in the process.
Right on, man. So you mentioned it being the title track. Can you tell us about the other tracks too? Like what do we got to look forward to?
Yeah, there's another one that's going to be coming out. Or wait, the whole record's coming out on the 26th. Yeah. There's another record or another song on there It's called A Memory and a Dream.
Okay.
And that tune, that's a tune that I wrote with Willie Braun from Reckless and Gary Braun from Mickey and the Motor Cars. And it's just this killer. I love how it came out because it's this very kind of Traveling Wilburys vibe.
Oh, nice. I love
that. It's got a really cool, I don't know, when I was working on it with Schools, that was the thing that was kind of fun working with Dave, was he and I talked a lot before he went in the studio. And that tune particularly, we were just trying to, he was definitely the most hands-on producer I think I've ever worked with. Like, he really wanted to like take the songs and, you know, twist them inside out and tear them apart and put them back together again, which at first was like kind of terrifying. And, you know, some of the stuff we were, when we first got in there, I was just like, man, I don't know where this is going to go. The songs just started going this whole other direction, you know? But songs like that, like he had this like weird kind of electric sitar thing.
Oh, sweet.
And where I would normally do like a guitar solo or something, he was like, dude, why don't, let's come up with a little hook on this like sitar thing and have that instead of just, you know, he's like, you're always doing guitar. That's what you do. That's what you would do. Let's not do that. You know, that was kind of his approach to a lot of these songs. He's like, let's make something different. Let's not do, you know, the same Jeff Crosby. I have like instincts, you know, that I tend to go to.
Sure.
And like, you know, I was like, oh man, I really hear piano there. And he's like, cool, let's not do that. I'd be like, okay. So what the hell are we doing then? But it ended up being really good because it just, I don't know, it made us make something completely different than we'd done before. And like that song, for example, adding this like cool sitar hook throughout the song was like, wow, that is cool. And I would have never done that. I think that's where this record, you know, working with Dave Schools, I think that was what made it really cool, because it just, he forced us to make something different than we would have made, you know, on our own. He definitely played, he played a huge role in the record, man. I've never worked with a producer that was so, I don't know. It was kind of hard to like give him, you know, control. There was definitely times where I was just like, well, I don't like this. What the hell are we even doing in here?
I'd imagine like, it has to be hard to do.
Yeah, we'd kind of have to duke it out. But he was always good. He's like, Jeff, just hear me out and let's just ride out this idea. And if it still sucks at the end, then we can scrap it. But he's like, just trust me through, you know, the idea. So I'd have to like, you know, begrudgingly sit in the corner while they, you know, went through the whole idea. And then by the end, I'm going, okay, actually, this does sound pretty cool now. It's like, okay, maybe I'm just being a dick. But it was really cool working with him. That was the first time I've worked with a producer that was that hands-on.
Yeah, and I'd imagine it had to be pretty cool. Like you said, you've been doing this 20 years. So, like, it had to have been cool to, like, see that finished product and it sounding so different than what you're used to. It's like, wow, I've been doing, like, I could still come up with some new shit. You know what I mean? Like, a lot, you know, a lot, I feel like a lot of guys who've been around for a while, it's like they might think, like, their stuff's all formulaic, maybe. I don't know. Right. You probably know better than I would. But, like, it just seems like it would be cool to see it, like, work out into something you never expected to be.
Well, I think that for me, especially, you get so far down the trail, and it's like, finding a producer that you respect and trust, you know, now it's like, I realize the importance of that, you know, now it's like, and that really is, you know, it makes me realize, you know, so many records that I love, so many past albums that I love, and it's like, oh, that was the producer on that. No, you know, duh, no wonder it's so good. It's like, you know, finding somebody that you click with. This is so important. And that's the kind of the exciting part about this record. It's just a totally different project than I've ever done before. And definitely made me get out of my comfort zone completely. But at the end of the day, you know, it came out as a cool piece of art, man. I honestly felt weird about the record when we first went and tracked it. I remember driving away just going, dude, what did we just make? I was like, is that any good at all? Or, you know, and then slowly we got the mixes, and then it was like, oh man, this is actually really cool. And we did a lot of weird stuff with this too. Like the band had been on the road like nonstop that whole summer, and we recorded it in October 2022.
Okay. Nope, I got your back. You're good. I got your back.
Sorry about that. But yeah, so.
No, you're good.
We definitely, I don't know, this gave us a, it just took us in a completely different direction, but the band was so tight. We'd been on the road nonstop. So, I mean, we went in and honestly tried to, we cut the drums and the bass live. And then we kind of actually, we kept a lot of guitar stuff too. So we cut a lot of stuff live. It was just us three in the room. And then we kind of went back and started adding stuff. But gosh, there's one song we just cut completely live. We didn't overdub anything. So it was kind of cool to, you know, that's the first time I've had a chance to really do that and trust it, you know. Just having the band was just hot off the road. So I feel like it was the time to do it.
Yeah, man. So meeting today, because didn't you play with Widespread?
I played with...
For a bit, is that how you met him?
No, I played with this guy, Jerry Joseph. He's a songwriter.
Okay.
He's out of Portland, Oregon. He's an older guy, and he's written a ton of songs for Widespread Panic. And so some of their biggest, you know, some of their biggest songs, Climb to Safety and North, and they're like, those are big, mm-hmm. Fan favorites. Those are all Jerry Joseph tunes. I did a tour in my early, mid 20s where we were Jerry Joseph's backing band. And we did a tour all the way across the country, Portland, Oregon, including New York City and back. And, we'd open the show. We'd play an hour set with our band and then back Jerry up for 2 hours as his band. And that's how I kind of met Jerry and started playing with him. And then I ended up joining his band for a couple of years playing guitar with him. And he's really tight with all the Panic guys. That's how I met Dave Schools. And we actually recorded a Jerry Joseph and the Jack Mormons record in California that Dave Schools produced while I was in the band. So that's kind of how I met Dave. And we just joked around, but we talked about doing a record sometime. It's like, man, we should do one of your records sometime. And I was like, man, I'd love to. And kind of coming out of the pandemic, I think we were just chatting on Instagram or something. And he was like, when are we going to make that record? And I was like, shit, maybe right now. Like, what are you doing next month? He was like, hey, I got this new space, man. He's like, let's do it. And so it was pretty cool how it all came together. I'd known Dave for a long time and he'd seen me play in a bunch of different iterations of the band. So it was kind of cool the way it all just kind of came to fruition, you know?
For sure, man. Well, hell yeah, dude. I can't wait for the album. And also, I guess before we head out, we should probably know what's touring looking like coming up? Got any cool dates or any festivals, anything like that?
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, we got the Brombos Union coming up. That's second week of August. We do our 3-night homecoming run in Idaho. That's mid-November. So rest of the summer's basically just doing a bunch of festivals. We got, you know, some Pacific Northwest stuff. We're up in Seattle and Portland, Boise. And then we're heading out to Colorado next week, Denver and Steamboat Springs, all that stuff. I just found out we'll be at that Mile Zero Fest in Key West
in
January. Yeah, we just got that on the books. So yeah, I'll be doing a ton of that stuff. And then I'll be hopping in and out, playing some guitar with Reckless Kelly on some Texas dates in October, November. So yeah, man, we'll be all over the place. We're definitely going to be hitting the road pretty hard, pushing this record. So we'll be on the trail.
Awesome, man. That's exciting stuff. So, Jeff, thanks for hopping on. I enjoyed talking to you, dude. This was fun.
Yeah,
I was really happy to, just learn about your music. It was, very recently, I gotta admit, I'm a new fan, but, it's very, very good stuff. I was very happy to add that to my playlist.
Yeah, right on, man. Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time, man. I'm looking forward to we'll catch you out in Cincinnati or Nashville. Actually, we'll be at Americana Fest in Nashville. I don't know if you're going to be at that.
Okay, I could try and make it sure, man.
That's in September. If you haven't gone, that's a pretty fun one, man. That's a good time.
Yeah, I have to check it out. But also, before we go, if you want to throw any plugs, like your socials, your website, anything like that, out, the floor is yours, man.
Yeah, yeah. Follow me on all the socials, man. Instagram, Facebook, follow the band on all that stuff. And then my website's jeffcrosbymusic.com. That's pretty much the main stuff we're on. And Yeah, hopefully we'll see you guys out there on the road this summer.
Hell yeah. And everyone, check him out on Spotify, everything like that, and buy some merch too. You need to buy, people need to buy more merch nowadays.
Yeah, buy some merch. Buy a t-shirt.
Hell yeah. But Jeff, thanks for hopping on. Everyone also check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Just Google us, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hey, cheers, man. Appreciate you. Look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Make a mess of this simple